Father, we do thank you for this day, and Lord, we are thankful. We should be thankful every day of our lives that we can come to you in prayer, but Lord, there are just certain times when it seems like prayer is more special and it means something more to us than it has in times past or maybe in previous occasions. And Lord, tonight and really the last several days have been such an occasion for myself, I know, and just being aware of some of these things already and just being mindful of them. God, I do pray that you'd be with those in our church who are in need right now. We pray for the entire Kitchens family, that you'd continue to be with them and give them grace. God, I pray that you'd give the family that will be traveling safety as they make it this way. And Lord, that in all of this, your name would be honored and glorified. Lord, we do think of Berto as he continues to heal, and we pray for strength and complete healing on his behalf. And then, Lord, we do pray for Pam and the uncertainty that she and Brother Jim are facing right now. We just ask that you would be with them and give them the comfort that only you can, and God, that you'd give grace and again, that your perfect will would be accomplished there. I pray now for the effort to preach your word this evening. I pray that you'd use me to be a help to your people. I pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, I think most of us know, as we have tried to make our way through this study for the last several weeks, that something that the Apostle Paul has mentioned over and over and over again was the approach in which he came to the city of Corinth and the people of Corinth. He has mentioned time and time again how he did not come with the wisdom of man, but rather he has come with the wisdom of God. And we know that the Apostle Paul said that he did not come in excellency of speech. He did not come with enticing words of man's wisdom. What he was going to do was exercise integrity in the ministry. He was not going to try to produce results. He was simply going to declare the Word of God, the full counsel of the Word of God, and then leave the results up to the Holy Spirit and however the Holy Spirit would work in the hearts and lives of men and women. That in mind, last week we were in verses 6 through 9, and Paul did say this, that he did speak wisdom among them that were perfect, or those that were complete or mature in their spiritual life. He said, for those who had been saved, for those who had grown, he did speak things. But again, not the wisdom of men, but the wisdom of God. And he said in verse number 7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. So what he said was this, the wisdom of God, it is not something that is just open and obvious for everyone to behold and to understand. He said if they had known that, the princes or the leaders of this world, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But the message came from verse number 9 where he said, but as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. And I was trying to show us last week that so many times this verse is misapplied. So many times that we look at this verse and we say that this is about heaven. But if you look at the context of it, all this has to do with understanding and wisdom and discernment and things of that nature. And what the Apostle Paul was reminding the believers of was this, is that as a person loves the Lord and walks in obedience with the Lord, God will always give them the wisdom and the understanding and the discernment they need. And that is a wonderful truth to be reminded of, because every one of us have questions as we go through life. Every one of us have times in our lives where we need help and we need answers. And God is able to do it because before the world began, God knew exactly how to work out every problem that you and I would have. I'm thankful for that. I said last week, and I could go on and on and on this evening, why I am thankful for that truth, but I'll just say one more time, I'm thankful that God has all the answers to all of my questions. I know to Him they're not a big deal. Meaning it's not difficult. He's not up there fretting saying, man, this is a tough one. I don't know what we're going to do. I am thankful God knows. And it's a big deal to me, but for Him, it's just a matter of pulling back the curtain just a little bit and letting me sing His will, you sing His will, whatever the situation is, and saying, here's what I want you to do in this area, in this situation, in this time of life. So that's what we dealt with last week. Tonight, we're moving on. And as we do, I want us to think about something. You are aware of this. I would imagine maybe you've had firsthand experience in this. But I think most of us know that it is not uncommon for kids in school to struggle sometimes with certain subjects. I don't know what your children were like. Maybe you had the straight A honor roll, always had the name in the paper student. Or maybe you had a normal kid. I'm not sure what kind of a child you had or have. But sometimes children struggle in particular subjects. And so for one child, it may be the subject of a science. For someone else, it may be a math subject. For someone else, it could be a reading subject. For someone else, it could be trying to learn a foreign language. Whatever it may be, they struggle. And their mind, for whatever reason, just does not click with the information that is before them. Have you ever known a child like this? Some of you may be saying, I was that child. There were certain subjects in school that I looked at it and it all looked like a foreign language to me. I looked at it and it was like, it made no sense. And it didn't matter how many times the teacher tried to explain it. It didn't matter how many of my friends told me, oh, that's easy. You don't understand that. It didn't matter how many times you were told, come on, you do this, this, and this. Just it did not make any sense whatsoever. It's just the way it is. There are times in a person's life, in a child's life, with this particular subject, with this particular topic, it's just not going to make sense. You can explain it many, many times. You can leave them with a textbook and say, stay here until you get it. It doesn't matter. They're not going to get it. That is not how their brain functions. That is not how their mind works. Doesn't mean they're ignorant. It just means that's not how their brain works. Now, I say that for this reason. As we go to verse number 10, keep verse number 7 in mind. In verse number 7, he said this, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden things. Okay, so he says in verse number 7 that what he has given them, it is a mystery, it is hidden. That means it is something that is concealed, it is something that has not yet been revealed. And in verse number 10, with the thoughts continuing, he says this, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Well, what is he talking about whenever he says he has revealed them unto us? Well, I think the context would dictate to us that he is talking about the mystery and the hidden wisdom of God that is not known or understood by the world. Because in verse number 10, as he says, but God hath revealed them unto us, what he is saying is this, is that God has uncovered the mysteries and God has revealed and uncovered those hidden things. He has done that to us, but something that he is going to make very clear throughout this passage is this, is that the only way that you and I can have understanding and have an insight on what the Word of God teaches and what the Word of God proclaims is through the power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. Now, with that in mind, just look at verse number 12. I don't want to deal with all this because so much of it is repetitive for reasons I don't fully understand. But in verse number 12, he says this, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. And so again, here is what the Apostle Paul was conveying to the believers of Corinth, that it is because of the Spirit of God that we have received that we are able to know the things that we know. We did not come into this knowledge and this understanding because of our intellect, because of our discernment, because of our intelligence. What you and I understand about the Word of God is the result of the power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives and revealing those things, making those things known unto us. To take it a little bit further. To try to prove his point, notice what he says in verse number 14. And just so you know, this is where the bulk of the message will come from. In verse number 14, he says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. He's showing us a contrast here. For the one who is saved, for the one who is a child of God, though they were mysteries, though they were hidden things, here is what God has done for the child of God. He has revealed those things unto us. He has made those things known unto us by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the Spirit of God that now dwells in us, the Spirit who the verses indicate, we didn't deal with this, but the verses that make known that it is the Spirit of God who obviously would know the mind of God, it is that same Spirit who communicates spiritual truths to you and I. He says in verse number 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. So what is a natural man? Well, in this verse, it would mean this, one who is not saved, one who is not born again, one who has never known salvation, and certainly not one who is, certainly one who has, see, how do you say that? It would be one who not only was not saved, but one who obviously had not grown or matured in their spiritual life, because you can't do that without salvation being there first, all right? So we understand that. So he says, natural men receive not the things of the Spirit of God. What does it mean to receive something? It means this, to accept it. To accept it. Natural men, Paul says, do not accept the things that the Spirit of God would reveal or make known to a child of God. Now this evening, I want to try to develop this a little bit, and I want to try to illustrate this so that we understand what we're talking about, or what I'm trying to talk about tonight. Natural men, unsaved men and women, of course, they will not accept what the Word of God declares. And you and I are seeing this more and more and more in our culture on a regular basis. Think about this for just a moment. I look at my life and I think, the things I have witnessed in just a few short years, it is hard for my mind to grasp. I'm not trying to be silly. I'm not trying to be funny here. I'm just being very honest. For those of you who are several years older than me, I cannot imagine what you think when you see our world and compare it to what it was when you were a kid. But think about this for just a moment. The sexual perversion that is so prevalent in our society and in our culture today. There is one reason and one reason only that men and women refuse to accept what the Word of God has to say today, and that is because they are lost, and because of their lost spiritual condition, they by nature cannot accept what the Word has to say in relation to the sexual perversion that is taking place. I think 5 years ago, you and I would have never dreamed that they would legalize homosexual marriage. I think if 5 years ago you would have said it's just around the corner, it's going to be here before you know it, I think many of us would have said something like this, well, it's probably going to happen in our lifetime, but I think it's further away. If you would have thought to yourself, no, I think it's just around the corner, I can promise you this, nobody thought the whole transgender issue was going to be as prevalent as it is, as quickly as it's become. Who would have thought a year ago that we would have to begin considering whether or not we want to shop at local stores or different stores in our area based on the positions they take as to whether or not a person can use this bathroom or this bathroom? I mean, I don't know about you, but I look at the sexual perversion and I say to myself, I cannot believe how quickly we as a nation have gotten here. And the reason that we as a nation have got here so quickly, it seems, and as though we're spinning out of control right now, is because natural man cannot and will not accept the things that the Spirit of God teaches and reveals in the Word of God. It just won't. Someone may say something like this, but Brother Kyle, we've got social conservatives and they're not all Christians. We've got social conservatives and you know, they're against these things and they're not Christian whatsoever. I'd like us to think about this from a different standpoint. We may have an agreement on certain issues, but I can promise you this. The unsaved world that you and I are a part of, with the sexual perversion that is taking place in our society today and the promiscuity that is taking place today, they may be opposed to this, they may be opposed to this, but there are so many other areas of sexual deviancy that they are still okay with and fine with. There are bigger problems out there than the homosexuality and the homosexual agenda. Now, I'm going somewhere with this, okay? So be patient, all right? There are bigger problems out there than the transgender issue, though those are problems, are they not? See, we live in a day where the culture and where the society, they no longer see an issue, or they no longer have an issue with the immorality and all the one-night stands or the hooking up or whatever it may be, or the living together for X amount of time. It's just not a big deal in our society today. It's not just the sexual perversion, it's the whole sexual mess that our culture is witnessing right now. And I don't want to labor something that may seem inappropriate to some of the kids here, but we might as well just be honest and confront this, that there is a reason why things are decaying around us, and that is because an unsaved individual does not accept the authority of the Word of God and the direction of the Spirit of God. If you look at our society, are we not somewhat chaotic in our approach to life? We are. You're looking at me like you're not sure. Let me just give you the answer. We are in a chaotic state in our society and in our culture. Our government is out of control. Just at least nod your head. I don't have to have an amen, but at least nod your head. Do you look at government and think, you know, these guys have got it together? Do you look at government and think, you know, I mean, this is how a nation ought to be run? Of course not. Our government is out of control. We are in a state of organized chaos with our government and with our leaders. Let's be honest. Our schools are in a state of chaos. The education system, and I'm not bad-mouthing it because I don't believe the problems, for the most part, are the teachers in the school system. But I think there are so many problems that are so much bigger than what the teachers could even begin to address in their own classrooms. I mean, but you look at our education system, and that is chaos. You look at homes of men and women all around us, and what do you have? You have nothing less than organized chaos. You have a marriage that is not at all what it's supposed to be. They are raising children in ways that they ought not be raising them. Everything is upside down and backwards, and everything is messed up in the homes these days. And there is a reason for that. Natural men do not receive or accept the truth of the Word of God, what the Spirit of God would otherwise reveal. Think about the financial world we live in. How messed up is our finances in this world? I've mentioned this before. I don't want to labor it tonight, but I just want us to think about this. We are a nation as a whole who live paycheck to paycheck to paycheck to paycheck. We are deep in debt, and so many people cannot afford the lifestyle they are living right now. I can't. We've got to move on. Now, there's a reason why financially our world is in the mess that it's in. Because our world doesn't want to accept what the Word of God might say about finances. Now just think about this. Whether it be the moral issues of our day, whether it be the overall order and the structure of things today, whether it be finances, whether it be priorities, whether it be anything else you want to consider, there is a reason our nation is in the position it is in, and that is because natural men cannot and will not receive the things of the Spirit of God that would come from the Word of God. Now, why is it that they will not accept it? Well, he explains in verse number 14. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. What does it mean for something to be foolish? It means for it to be absurd or for it to be silly, or we might say it like this, it's ridiculous. You know why the natural man does not accept what the Word of God says in the areas of morality or sexuality or things of that nature? You know why the world doesn't accept it? Because in their mind, this is just ridiculous. I mean, you Christians, you have to come along with your Bible. I mean, this is so silly. I mean, the Bible was written 2,000 years ago. It's just nuts that you would take what somebody said 2,000 years ago and try to plug it into our world today when it comes to the subject of morality. I mean, good grief, that's just ridiculous. It is absurd. There's a reason why people don't accept it and they think it's nuts. There is a reason why we have the chaos and the disorder and the lack of functionality so many times in the things that matter in our culture. Because they look at the principles that the Word of God would teach and they say, that is ridiculous, that is nuts. How would that help us or benefit us? Whether it be finances or anything else, they don't accept it because to them it is foolishness. Now notice what he says after that. Neither can he know them. Neither can he know them. Know what? The things that the Spirit of God would otherwise reveal. The natural man does not understand scriptural truths and biblical principles. To take a natural man and to give them the Word of God and say, now here's what the Bible says about morality. Here's what the Bible says about order and how to get things in order and to do this. Here's what the Bible says about finances. Here's what the Bible says about anything that you want to consider. Here is what the Bible says. You know what that is like? Do you know what that's like for them? It's like giving me Algebra 2 and saying, here you go. It just doesn't make any sense. It's like giving that child who struggles with whatever subject the textbook and saying, here it is. They look at this and say, I don't understand what you're talking about. I don't get what it is you're trying to say. So you're trying to tell me that if we'll do this and this, then it'll produce this. That doesn't make any sense. Tell me one more time. Okay, now listen. If you'll handle your marriage this way, if you'll handle your finances this way, if you'll raise your children this way, it'll produce these types of things. And the natural man hears all of it, sees all of it, but at the end of the experience, here's what they say. I don't get it. I don't understand it. The natural man cannot accept the Word of God or the things of the Spirit of God because it is foolishness to them, and in part it seems foolish because they cannot understand it. And why can they not understand it? Because in verse number 14, he says this. Because they are spiritually discerned. The only way that someone begins to understand the Scripture is when the Spirit of God is injected into the process. The only way that a person begins to understand, okay, I need to do this, and we need to be raising our kids this way, and that way of life is wrong, and this way of life is an abomination, and this is not bringing glory to God. The only way that they begin to discern this is when the Spirit of God begins to do the work that only He can do. And until they begin to spiritually discern things, they will not understand things. And when you do not understand things, you do not accept things. Now let's be honest. To you and I, all this seems so basic. You know why? Because we're saved.
Amen.
See, we're at a distinct advantage. Because of salvation and the Spirit of God working, because of the Spirit of God revealing some things and uncovering some things, those things that were once mysteries, those things that were once hidden things, because of the Spirit of God working in our lives, we were able to begin discerning some things. Some things that maybe we once would not have discerned. And as a result of our discerning some things, we began to understand some things. And as a result of understanding some things, we began to accept some things. But again, the only reason that that process has taken place in our lives to any extent is because of the working of the Spirit of God in our lives. We cannot be surprised that the world thinks in the manner they do. As much as it disgusts us, as much as it bothers us, as much as it repulses us, though we get angry and frustrated, we've got to remember, natural men are going to think the way natural men think. Unsaved people are going to think the way unsaved people ought to think because they don't understand any of this. And so because they don't understand it, they will not accept it because they have no spiritual discernment. And I want to say again, if not for the Spirit of God working in our lives, we would most likely be one of the individuals we don't have much use for. I don't know, Brother Kyle. No, I'm telling you. Just think about some of the things we used to think. And we thought it was okay. Just think about some of the things that you used to do and you saw no problem with it. And had someone come to you and said, "Don't you know that that's a sin?" You would have said something like this: "I don't care. I don't see that big of a problem with it." Don't act like whenever you were lost, you had a mind for the things of God. It's not how it worked. The only reason we have had a shift in our thinking is because of salvation and because of the spiritual discernment that God has given. Without that, the Apostle Paul said, "The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God." Now, that's all fine and good. We could leave here this evening and say, "Well, praise the Lord, I've got that spiritual discernment. Lord, bless me because I understand some things and I accept it to be so." That's all good and that's all fine and that's all wonderful. You know where the problem lies? The problem lies in this, is sometimes you and I sometimes I forget that maybe chapter 3 might be connected to chapter 2. Do you know this? Whenever the Apostle Paul sat down and wrote this, I've said this before, but whenever the writers sat down and wrote their letters, they did not say verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, chapter 2, verse 1, chapter 3, verse 1. They wrote, and then the editors came in, and they're the one who put the divisions in there for our benefit and for our aid. So who cares? Oh, well, it's important. Notice in verse number 1 what Paul said. and I, brethren. So what do you refer to them as? You refer to them as brethren. Well, what was Paul doing? He was operating from the assumption that the audience he was writing to were brethren. They were saved. They were brothers in Christ. And I, brethren, could what? Well, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. What does that mean? It means this: that there was an element of people in the church that Paul could not have spiritual conversation with because they were carnal. He's not calling into question their salvation. He may have questioned it in his mind, but he did not make it public, at least. But he is saying in verse number 1, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. I had to speak unto you as carnal, worldly, fleshly individuals. I had to speak unto you like you were lost people, because you were living like lost people." Now, I want us to think about something tonight. We're just going to be here for a few minutes and then we're going to be done, okay? It is easy for us to look at the world and how messed up their thinking gets and how off they get and how far away they get from the truth of God's Word. It is easy for us to look at that and, as I've said before, get disgusted, get repulsed, get bothered, get angry, whatever emotion we're struggling with, and say, how does this happen? It happens because they don't have the Spirit of God living in them, dwelling in them, and guiding them. Therefore, they don't understand it, so therefore they don't accept it. But you know what seems to be a problem in the lives of at least some professing believers? Something happens and they grow carnal in their spiritual life. They begin to get worldly in their approach to life. I don't know exactly how it happens, but I know it happens. And whenever that happens, here's what I've discovered. You cannot speak to them as spiritual brethren. You have to speak unto them as babes. Because like what we've dealt with in the book of Hebrews, they're still on the milk, as the Apostle Paul mentions in verse number 2, they're still on the milk because they can't handle the meat. Now, I want us to think about something. If a person has been saved, and if a person has been a child of God for any amount of time, then we understand that there's supposed to be spiritual development, there's supposed to be spiritual progress. But if for whatever reasons carnality begins to slip in, and the carnality begins to define that person, you know what they will lose? They will lose the ability to spiritually discern things. When a person who is saved begins to think like the world and they begin to live like the world, they will lose spiritual discernment. And they will have no understanding of what the Word of God declares. You and I don't begin to know who is truly saved and who is truly lost. We don't have the ability and we don't have the right to make such a declaration. But I would say this: if you have conversations with people like I have conversations with people from time to time, here's what you realize. There are just certain people who claim to be saved. I don't know if they are or not, but I do know this: you can't have a spiritual conversation with them because they don't have any spiritual discernment in their life. And because they don't have spiritual discernment in their life, they don't understand what the Word of God is trying to teach and what the Word of God is trying to declare. And so you try to talk to them. And here's what you discover. I mean, think about this. In modern day Christianity, more and more people are struggling with whether or not a person is born homosexual or not. Friends, how easy is that if you have any spiritual discernment at all? And yet we're struggling with it. And the conservatives are not as conservative as they once were, even in the churches. And people are wrestling with it. Why is that? Because carnality has slipped in. And because of no spiritual discernment, the things that they used to should have or would have accepted, they now don't accept because they don't even begin to understand what the Word of God is teaching. Does this make sense? You look at people, I mean, we'll move from the moral issue and we'll move from the sexuality issue. Sorry, I didn't want that to scare someone. That was fast. I didn't get it, by the way, so it could crawl up your leg in a minute. But don't let that distract you. Think about the lack of order that we see amongst Christians today. This is out of control. 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 We're not talking about the lost people. We're talking about people who claim to be saved. You try to start talking to them and you realize they have no spiritual understanding whatsoever. You tell them the Bible says this and they just look at you like, what? You quote something to them and they say, where's that at? It's in the Bible. You know, the thing that you claim to be a follower of? Well, I don't know. It doesn't make any sense to me. And because it doesn't make any sense to them, they don't accept it. I'm telling you, we are living in a day, we are living in a time and in a season where so many who claim to be a child of God, they have no spiritual discernment. The only reason that happens is because carnality and worldliness and the flesh is what is in control of them at this time. It is what is leading them. It is what is guiding them. And because they have no discernment, because of that carnality, they now have no understanding of the Word of God. And it doesn't matter how much you try to tell them. It doesn't matter how many times you try to go over it with them. It doesn't matter how many times you tell them to look at this portion of Scripture or to read this verse or whatever it may be. To try to reveal it to them, it's not going to happen because they have no discernment. And it is absurd for us to expect someone to accept what they don't understand because of their own carnality. Does it make any sense at all? Amen. And in all of that, it needs to require of us that we would ask ourselves something like this. How often do we look at the Word of God and say, that just doesn't make any sense? The Word of God makes sense. Now listen, I'm not saying the Word of God is easily understood. I've tried to be very transparent about that here recently. There are many times we can read the Scripture and say, boy, I am not understanding that. That is not then an immediate sign of carnality. But if the Word of God is being preached, and if the Word of God is being taught, and if the Word of God is being presented, and I mean, you know, it's just kind of laid out right there, and you're constantly scratching your head, you know, I don't know about that. I don't know. I mean, that seems kind of narrow-minded. I mean, that seems kind of old school. I mean, you know, that seems kind of legalistic. You know, I mean, that seems kind of crazy. If we're constantly questioning the Word of God, because that just doesn't make much sense to us. You know what that probably reveals about us? That there's some carnality there that is interfering with our ability to spiritually discern the way we ought to discern. And until we discern the way we ought to discern, we'll not accept what we need to accept. And it can even seem ridiculous and absurd and silly to us. The Word of God's fairly clear. The Word of God is fairly easily understood if someone will break it down for us and say, okay, here's what the Word of God teaches. Here's what the Word of God explains. And if we're constantly stumbling over the simple truth of God's Word, if you and I are constantly getting hung up on certain things I don't know if I believe that. I don't know if that's really what my family needs to be doing. You know, I think my aunt may have been born that way, or my niece may, or my nephew, or my uncle, or whatever, or my best friend. I think they may have been born that way. Or, you know, I don't want to be judgmental. If that is our approach to the Christian life, something's not right. Amen. Spiritual discernment lets us understand the Word of God, and it then helps us accept it. Though we may struggle with it at times, we still accept it and we apply it. The Spirit of God uncovers, it reveals what's been hidden. If we're saved, And it's not happening for us, the Spirit of God is not revealing, there's probably some carnality issues that need to be addressed and need to be dealt with. It's just something to give some consideration to, okay? So I'll stand this evening and bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, as we come to you tonight, I pray that you'd help us to be men and women who would do some soul searching, who would make sure that there's not some carnality in our life. I know that every one of us are sinners. I know that every one of us are going to struggle from time to time. There's no doubt about that. But Lord, understanding, it is clear in the Scripture that it comes from the Spirit of God. And it is possible, though we are brethren, that we may not be able to handle your word like it was intended. And that's on us, and it's on no one else. So I pray that you'd help us tonight. I pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.